take your Bibles, if you would. Judges chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 8 tonight and actually look at the first judge that was on the scene. And it's been a couple weeks since we've been in this book, and I understand that both of the Wednesday nights, Adam the first Wednesday night and then Harry the second Wednesday night, spoke on Job, and then Timothy spoke on Job Sunday night. And so, you know, somebody was talking to me after church Sunday night and said, why do you think that happens? I said, well, I think it's the Holy Spirit leading them to speak on, you know, on Job, and God must have known that we needed a triple dose of Job, and so he gave it to us. But tonight, starting in verse 8, we're going to look at the first judge. There's actually three judges mentioned here in chapter 3. The one we're going to talk about tonight takes 4 verses. The one we're going to talk about next week takes 19 verses. And then there's one in the very last verse of this, verse 31 of chapter 3. And as we move on through the book, we'll see that there's other judges, that there's several chapters that are devoted to their story. And again, God reveals the details as he deems necessary. And we never have to worry about that God didn't give us enough or that God's given us too much. He knows exactly what we need. And in the Bible, supplies us exactly what we need. So the first judge we're going to talk about tonight is a man that we've met before. We met him in Joshua chapter 15, and then again in Judges chapter 1. His name is Othniel. He was Caleb's nephew who married his cousin, Caleb's daughter. And since he was the first judge, the fact that it's him, somebody that we read about earlier, indicates that the people of Israel didn't take long to turn away from God after they got into the promised land. I mean, it happened pretty quickly after they got in. In fact, there's some things that are recorded in the end of the book of Judges, like the tribe of Dan stealing some idols and beginning to worship those idols, and an incident with the Benjamites and abusing a Levite's concubine. There's a couple chapters there at the end of the book of Judges, actually 3, 19, 20, and 21, and how the nation of Israel punished Benjamin. But those events are recorded at the end of the book of Judges. Most Bible scholars that try to, you know, come up with a chronological order of when things happen, think those two events happened about the time that Othniel was a judge. And so we're going to talk about them when we get to the end of the book of Judges, and when we do, I'll remind you that they probably happened at this time. So in verse, we ended a couple weeks ago with verse 7, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God, and serve Balaam and the groves. And again, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, they forgot the Lord their God, and they served Balaam in the groves, in the trees, that sort of acted like a temple. And again, I just want to remind you what I said then. The only way they could serve other gods is to forget theirs and forget what he had done for them. Because if they would have remembered what God had done for them, bringing them out of Egypt, through the wilderness, into the land of Canaan, if they would have remembered what God had done for them, they would have not served other gods. They had the God that did wonders. They had the God that could do the impossible. The gods that they went to serve could do nothing. I mean, the psalmist talks about them. They have ears, these gods do, but they can't hear. They have mouths, but they can't speak. They have hands, but they can't handle nothing. They have feet, and they can't walk. Somebody's got to carry them around. Why would you trade a God that could do the impossible and a God that doeth wonders for a God like that unless you had forgotten what he had done for you? You wouldn't. You wouldn't. And in the same, and I'll just again give the warning that I gave a couple weeks ago, the first step in our turning away from God and stepping into evil is when we forget what he's done for us. So we need to remember every day that he saved us. He saved us out of hell. He saved us when we didn't deserve it. He gave us mercy and grace. And not only saved us, but gives us the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to guide us, to comfort us, to strengthen us. And that's why we need to remember every single day, and we need to think about our salvation. There ought not to be a day go by that we ought not to take a moment and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. And remember what a sinner we are and what our eternal destination was before God saved us. There ought not to be a day go by when we ought not to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and guides us and strengthens us and gives us wisdom if we ask Him to. And as we remember what God has done for us, it'll keep us out of trouble. It'll keep us out of mischief. But the moment we forget and the moment we fail to think about it and remember is the moment that we get in trouble. All right, look at verse 8. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of, and this is a long name, Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served this guy 8 years. Okay, so it says, therefore, because they forgot God, because they started serving Baal, God's anger was kindled against them. Now, I would remind you, before they went into the promised land, as they were going into the promised land, after they got in the promised land, God told his people over and over and over and over again, don't get mixed up with the people of Canaan. Don't intermarry, don't keep company with them, because if you do, you will turn away from me and you will serve other gods. Don't get entangled with them. And that's exactly what they did, and exactly what God told them was going to happen, happened. And so no wonder his anger was kindled against them. You know, it's like knowing your kids are about to do something wrong. And you warn them and warn them and warn them, and then they do it. You got no choice. You got to get them. You got to let them have it. Last night, Adam brought the boys down to the hospital to visit with Debbie. And Aaron found a button on the wall. And this button on the wall controlled the light that was over the bed. You push it one time, and the light bulb on top of the light comes on. You push it a second time, that light goes off, and the light underneath the light that shines down for the bed goes on. You push it the next time, they both come on. And you push it one more time, and they both go off. So he's over there, pop, 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 pop. Lights are going on, lights are going off, pop, 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 pop. Adam says, Aaron, that's enough. Pop, 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 pop. Aaron, stop it. Pop, 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 pop. Then he starts to count. One, two, and he quits. Because you see, he's learned that if his dad's counting and he gets to a certain point, he's going to get it. And so I was thinking as I was studying, why couldn't the Israelites be like that? I mean, God told them, look, don't get involved with these people, because when you get involved with these people, you're going to turn away from me. And when you turn away from me because you're my children, I'm going to have to punish you. I'm going to have to discipline you. And yet they did exactly what God told them not to do. No wonder his anger was hot against Israel. And then it says that he sold them. Now again, it's not what we think of when we think about selling something. I mean, God didn't get any remuneration for selling his people. If you study that term in the Hebrew, what it really means is that he removed his hand of protection from around them. Okay? When they turned against him, when they forgot him, and they turned and worshiped Baal, that term sold his people means, okay, I'm taking my hands of protection. I'm taking them from around you. I had them around you. I was protecting you from all these people that you conquered and all these people whose land you took. But now I'm taking my hands of protection from around you. And I was thinking, you know, today we take God's protection for granted. I think there's so many things that happen in our life that don't happen because God's got his protection, his hands of protection around us. That he never, Satan's trying to get in, the world's trying to get in, but because God's got his hands around us, they can't. They can't. And so many of those things, unless he tells us in heaven, we are not going to know about. But when his people did evil, when they forgot him, when they turned away from him, he gave them to this king, Shushan Rish Athaman. I'm sure I'm not saying it right. You guys could probably say it better. But he sold them into this king, and this was a king from Mesopotamia. And that word means it's between the two rivers, the rivers Euphrates and the Tigris River. So it would be a place that was northeast of Israel where Syria is today. So back in this day, it was some distance from where the Israelites were in the promised land. And so he started taking the land. He started attacking different tribes, putting people under his rule, under his authority. And for eight years, this king, again, ruled over God's people. They were subject unto him. They paid taxes. They served him. Now, they might have thought early on, well, you know, this king comes from a distant land. It'll be easy for us to overthrow him. It'll be easy for us to get out of this burden. But for 8 years, they suffered under the rule of this king before they turned back to God. And here's what I was thinking. When we get off the straight and narrow way, when we forget God, when we get into the things that we shouldn't get into, and because we're his children, God has to punish us some way. He sends his discipline into our life. I wonder how long we suffer that discipline before we repent and turn back to him. And then I thought the same thing about our country, about our nation. You see, I believe as a nation we've turned away from God. And I believe that he's done to our nation the same thing that he did to the Israelites. I believe we were blessed as a nation because God has his hand of protection around us. And as we've turned away from him, he says, okay, I'm going to sell you. I'm going to take my hands of protection away. And you're going to begin to pay the price for turning away from me. And I wonder how long it's going to be before we as a nation realize that the only hope we have is to turn back to God. I was thinking about the prodigal son. You know, he was over in the far country. He had exhausted all his inheritance that his dad has given him. And he was feeding the swine, so hungry that he was ready to eat what he was feeding them. And the Bible says he came to himself. He came to himself. He said, it's better back home with Dad. I mean, the servants have it better back home. And again, I thought, we as individuals, how long will it take us to come to ourselves? We as a nation, how long will it take us to come to ourselves and say, it was a whole lot better when we were serving God than it is now. It was a whole lot better when he was our God, as opposed to the ones we're serving now. Again, it took Israel 8 years to come to themselves. Those in verse 9. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. So they cried unto the Lord. You know, when everything was going well, they didn't cry unto the Lord. I mean, that's the times they started worshiping Baal. That's the times they went to the groves. That's the time they got entangled with the people of the land and began to worship the false god. But when trouble came, when this 8 years of bondage came, and they realized that they could not handle it on their own, and the gods that they were worshiping, Baal, could not help them, then they turned back to God, and they cried to him. And again, I mentioned what Huckleby said, and he clarified it some this week, and I didn't get to see the clarification. I hope he didn't back off from what he said. When we turn away from God, we should not be surprised that trouble comes. When we turn away from God, we should not be surprised that he sends his punishment and his discipline into our lives. Now, the Bible says the Lord heard him. It's a good thing that some of us are not God. I know what I would do if I was God. I'd say, no, you're going to suffer a little bit longer. You're going to be under this rule for a little bit longer. I don't think you've learned your lesson yet. But God didn't do that. When they cried unto him, he raised up a deliverer, a savior. Othniel, again, Caleb's nephew, one that had married his daughter, of the tribe of Judah. He was of the tribe of Judah. And he was old enough to have personally witnessed what God had done as the Israelites took the land of Canaan. He had been there. He had seen some of the battles that they had won. He had seen his uncle Caleb drive the giants from the mountain that Joshua gave them. The very giants that the spies saw when they first came to the land of Canaan said, oh no, we can't go in and cause the people to wander for 40 years. Those giants. He'd seen Uncle Caleb drive them out of the land that Joshua had given him. And he was older. I mean, he was an older man. But it doesn't matter. Because if God calls, he will provide exactly what we need, exactly what Othniel needed to do what God called him to do. Look at verse 10. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered this king of Mesopotamia into his hands, and his hands prevailed against this king. No man called him. No man called him. He didn't call himself. He was called by God. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him to give him strength, to give him wisdom, to help him decide what to do. And notice what he did. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went back to the people and said, now look, before we worry about this king from Mesopotamia, we need to take care of our sin. We've forgotten God. We've turned away from God. We've started worshiping false gods. We need to repent. We need to turn back to God. We need to remember what he's done for us. And the sin at home needed to be dealt with before they began to fight the outside enemy. Because until they repented of their sin, it would have been no use for them to go fight the Mesopotamians. And again, in our day and age, we should not expect the blessings of God to return to our country until we repent and turn back to him. You see, we want the benefits of 2 Chronicles 7:14. We want the benefits. We want God to hear our prayers. We want him to forgive us. We want him to heal our land. But we want him to do that without us meeting the conditions. We just want him to bless us, return his hand of blessing on us without humbling ourselves, without praying, without seeking his face, without turning from our wicked ways. And again, God's blessing is not going to return to our country until we turn back to him. And it starts with us. If my people, which are called by my name, it depends on us. So he judged Israel. He rebuked them for their sins. And then he went out to war against this king. And the Bible says that the Lord delivered him into Othniel's hand. And again, if we're right with God, any battle that we face is not ours. It's God's. If we're right with him, any battle that we get into, we don't have to worry about winning it. We just have to give it to the Lord. He'll win it. And then verse 11, and the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. So they had 40 good years. I mean, they were under bondage for 8. So 5 times as long, 40 good years, and it would have lasted forever if the people had stayed true to God. Now, look at the first phrase in verse 12. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And so the cycle starts again. 8 years under bondage. 40 years enjoying the blessings of God. You would think that they would learn, hey, as long as we remember God, as long as we remember what he did for us, as long as we stay true to him, we're going to enjoy his blessings. But when we forget and turn away from them, the blessings are not going to be there. You would think that they would learn. But you would think we would learn. All right, glad you were here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.